So here's the thing that blew my mind about Transformers. They basically killed a 25-year-old way of doing AI. Before 2017, if you wanted a machine to understand text, you'd feed it one word at a time, left to right, like reading a sentence on paper.
That's recurrent neural networks, RNNs. The problem is they're inherently sequential, right? You can't parallelize them.
Exactly. And that was a huge bottleneck. Training took forever. But Transformers? They process all the words at once. Think of it like the difference between a cashier serving one customer at a time versus a grocery store with multiple checkout lanes.
But wait, if you're processing everything at once, how does the model know which words matter for understanding other words?
That's where attention comes in. The model learns to calculate relevant scores between every pair of words. So when you're processing bank, the model figures out whether you mean a riverbank or a financial institution by looking at nearby context.
So it's not just, here's a word, process it. It's, here's a word, and here's what it's related to.
Bingo. And this happens with something called scaled dot product attention. The model learns three weight matrices for each word, a query, a key, and a value. The query asks, what's relevant to me? The key says, I'm relevant because, and the value says, here's what you should know about me.
So mathematically, you're computing dot products between queries and keys, normalizing them with softmax, then using those weights to pull information from the values?
Yes, and that whole thing happens in parallel across all words. That's why transformers could scale so dramatically. GPUs are built for matrix math, and transformers are basically giant matrix operations.
Okay, so that's the core mechanism. But you mentioned multi-head attention. Why multiple heads instead of just one?
Because different types of relationships matter. One attention head might learn, pay attention to the next word. Another learns, find the verb this noun is connected to. Another learns, spot pronouns and their antecedents. Each head learns a different definition of relevance.
And you run all of those in parallel, then concatenate the outputs?
Exactly. Then you pass that through a feed-forward network, just a two-layer neural net that processes each word independently. Stack that whole thing multiple times, and you've got a transformer.
Let me push back on something, though. You said transformers process all words at once, but the original paper was for machine translation, right? Encoder-becoder setup?
Right. The encoder takes English text, processes it all in parallel, creates rich representations. Then, the decoder generates French word by word, but it can look back at any part of the English input whenever it needs context.
So the decoder is autoregressive. It generates one token at a time, but it's not stuck looking only backward. It can attend to the entire input.
Exactly. And here's where it gets wild. The decoder uses something called causal masking. When generating the third word, it can look at the first and second words it already generated and anything in the encoder, but not words three onward that don't exist yet.
That's the difference between a transformer for translation versus a transformer for text generation. GPT models are decoder only, no encoder.
Right. GPT just generates text one token at a time, using causal masking so it only looks backward. BERT is encoder only, so it can look at the whole sentence from both directions. T5 is full encoder-decoder.
So the architecture choice depends on your task, but there's something else I want to dig into. How does the model actually know word order? If you're processing everything in parallel, what tells it that dog bites man is different from man bites dog?
Positional encodings. Each word gets an embedding vector, and you add another vector that encodes its position in the sequence. The original transformer used sinusoidal functions. Think of them like sine and cosine waves at different frequencies.
Why sinusoids specifically?
Because they have this elegant property, shifting by a fixed distance is a linear transformation. so the model can learn relative positions easily. If I know the encoding for position 5, I can compute position 10 with a matrix multiplication.
Interesting, but I've heard more recent models use rope, rotary positional embeddings, instead. What's the difference?
Rope treats positions as rotations in 2D space. You encode position as an angle, and the dot product between two encoded positions depends only on their relative distance, not absolute positions. It's elegant and works better for longer sequences.
So the model can extrapolate to sequences longer than it saw during training?
Better than sinusoids, yeah. Anyway, back to the architecture. You've got embeddings, positional encodings, then stacked transformer layers. Each layer has attention, a feed-forward network, residual connections, and layer normalization.
Residual connections are the skip connections, right? Where you add the input back to the output?
Yes, they prevent gradient vanishing when you stack many layers. Layer normalization stabilizes training. The original 2017 paper applied after each sublayer, but newer models apply it before, pre-LN instead of post-LN. Turns out pre-LN trains faster and doesn't need learning rate warm-up.
Okay, so the architecture is solid, but how do you actually train these things? You can't just feed in text and say, learn language.
You use self-supervised learning. The model generates its own training signal from unlabeled data. GPT models use autoregressive training, predict the next word given all previous words.
And BERT uses masked language modeling?
Right. Mask out a word randomly, make the model predict what it was based on context from both sides. It's like a closed test. Then you fine-tune on specific tasks.
So the pre-training is generic, learn patterns in language, then fine-tuning specializes it. But here's what I keep coming back to. Transformers have quadratic complexity in the context window size. You can't just make them infinitely long.
True. The attention mechanism requires comparing every token to every other token. With a 4K context window, that's 16 million comparisons. With 128K, it's 16 billion. It explodes.
So people have developed workarounds. KV caching for inference, you don't recompute keys and values for tokens you've already seen. Flash attention algorithms that minimize GPU memory movement. Sparse attention patterns instead of full all-to-all attention.
And techniques like multi-query attention, where you share key value pairs across multiple query heads. Reduces memory footprint without hurting quality much. It's all engineering to make these things actually run at scale.
But the core idea, attention is all you need, that's still the foundation. It solved the vanishing gradient problem that killed RNNs. It enabled parallelization. It scaled to billions of parameters.
And it turned out to generalize way beyond language. Vision transformers break images into patches and treat them like tokens. Conformer does the same for speech. Even AlphaFold uses transformers for protein folding.
So the architecture is almost a universal learner for sequential data, regardless of modality?
Seems like it. The 2017 paper was titled, Attention is All You Need. And 7 years later, it kind of looks like they were right.